Palamatu,
Sanguana, Sanguana, Tatina,
Womyam, my Catalum Yamabo,
Womyam, my Catalum
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the release party for the Sexbot's new EP, Songs for Jamil, at Dante's on Sunday, September 14th at 9 p.m. Dante's is a 21 and over venue. The Sexbots are a provocative, experimental, electronic art pop act based in Portland who have a strong performance art component. Again, that's the release party for the Sexbots' new EP, Songs for Jamil, at Dante's, 350 West Burnside in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And it's KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. And coming right up, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10 o'clock, stay tuned for Flashpoints. We'll talk about the gunning down and killing of 18-year-old Yanira Serrano Garcia. Her family will be interviewed, and a little radio documentary on the community's response to the killing. 11 o'clock, the Dirtbag hosts Glenn Andreessen, welcomes back the master grafter of fruit trees, John Saltveit. And we're going to go right to Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning in today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. Yes, the day before the annual outpouring of emotion over 9/11, a date which will live in infamy in every beating heart of red-blooded Americans. Radio Benghazi coming at you right straight out of Portland, Oregon. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Stephen Zunis. He has been Zunis has been traveling. He's been on the road, and we are very, very fortunate to have him on the show today. We're going to be talking about, of course, the speech that President Obama is about to make, laying out his plans for what the U.S. is going to do. The U.S. has dwindled in recent years from being a superpower to being somewhat of a third world nation, the underpaid fat cop on the corner eating a donut and policing the world, once in a while perhaps shooting down someone whose skin is the wrong color. But that is basically what the nation has devolved into, and we continue to blunder into these absurd wars. Right now, the absurdity of this one defies all logic, all rational thought. It boggles the mind. We want to just very quickly hit on a few important headlines, though. And midterm elections are coming up, so take a look at Working Families recommendations on some of the issues. And in Gresham, Oregon, a man was filming a heavily militarized SWAT raid. The man was using his iPad across the street. He was assaulted by the police, dressed up in Kevlar in their riot gear. According to the man who uploaded the video to YouTube, he goes by the name of Sky Low Production. He woke up at 4 a.m. after hearing a loud disturbance. He went outside to investigate, and he was arrested. Activists within our community have been speaking out and fighting against police militarization for some time. The issue recently, of course, is straight in the middle of the limelight of public opinion after the shooting down of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. But since then, various media programs have been beginning to shine light on the issue. It's a start. It's not much, but it's a glimmer. And once again, America blunders in. Bristol, Massachusetts, Samuel Sutter carried a Bill McKibben. His district attorney, Samuel Sutter, carrying a Bill McKibben article on climate change outside the Fall River, dismissed all charges against lobster fishermen because he said that they did what they did, blockading the harbor specifically, because of their concern over climate change and its effect on the fishing industry there. Judge threw out all of the charges. And volunteers from Sea Shepherd Conservation Society's Pilot Whale Defense Campaign and appeared in a court in the Faroe Islands on Monday following their recent arrest in conjunction with trying to prevent the murder of a pilot whale. So the public release of a long-awaited U.S. Senate report detailing the CIA's use of harsh interrogation techniques could be held up for weeks as the Senate Intelligence Committee and the Obama administration try to wrangle what material can be included in the document. Yes, that's going to be a piece of redaction writ large. But that all that said and done, we now are set to welcome Stephen Zunis to the KBOO Airwaves. Thanks so much for being back with us again today.
Good to be with you.
Well, you've been traveling, been on the road, and we're glad to have you join us today to take the time. What is the most extraordinary thing? Your piece in The Progressive, of course, lays out many of the questions that I would like to touch on today, and we'll try to put a link to the article in The Progressive. It's also in the Huffington Post, and by this time it's probably everywhere. But why exactly is President Obama planning on attacking ISIS when ISIS is attacking the Assad government in Syria? Is this a question of the enemy of my enemy is still my enemy, but we're going to be on their side anyhow, at least until the dust settles?
It's really bizarre. I mean, at this time, last year, at the beginning of the semester, I was explaining to my students, that why the United States found itself on the verge of war with the Syrian government. And at the beginning of the school year, this semester, I am having to explain why the U.S. feels it has to go to war against rebels fighting the Syrian government. what was that line from George Orwell? 1984, we're at war with East Asia. We've always been at war with East Asia.
Yes.
No, I mean, there are a number of the whole paradoxes here. It's true that the Assad regime is absolutely brutal and the ISIS forces are even more brutal. But the question is U.S. bombing going to make things better or worse? And that's a real question. And the United States, remember, has been bombing Iraq on and off for nearly 20 years now through four administrations. And things have only gotten worse for the Iraqis. It's only gotten worse in terms of the security of the region. And I would argue even worse for the security of the United States. And, there should be a lesson in that, As I've been arguing for years, the more the United States has militarized the Middle East, the less and less secure we become. And just as Osama bin Laden's 9/11 attacks were designed in the hopes that the United States would overreact and do something really stupid and create an even stronger anti-American backlash and an even stronger appeal to their extreme misinterpretation of Islam, the ISIS people, these public beheadings and that kind of thing, are designed to do the same thing, to try to provoke the United States and other Western countries to overreact and create a backlash and in the you know, make them stronger. So I think it's really, really critical that we don't fall into that trap again.
Well, of course, the Obama's wading straight into it, and he this time, of course, Congress is backing him. It seems to me extraordinary that no one sees where this is all heading, especially given the amount of ordnances, the amount of weaponry that is now floating around the region. It's just an open air. A gun show on a national level. It's just that's where the danger lies. Not in someone attacking the United States. It seems to me highly unlikely that ISIS, no matter how brutal they are and how many people's heads they cut off, is highly unlikely that they are capable of staging any sort of attack. And besides that, we have the most extraordinarily invasive surveillance apparatus the world has ever seen. Shouldn't we know about this stuff? See it coming? I mean, they watch people, you know, in the loo in the morning, and yet they can't tell what's going on in a region that they've been in bogged down in for years now. I find that impossible to imagine. How can they think that ISIS poses a serious threat to?
It's important, two important things. One is they really are a brutal, extreme, totalitarian cult that even Al-Qaeda, the mainstream Al-Qaeda, thinks they're too crazy, but their ability there to come to the United States and do serious damage here is quite limited, and I think that part has been exaggerated. The number one thing the United States could do that would provoke ISIS to attack the United States directly would be to get in a war with them.
There you go.
And indeed, the execution of the two journalists was in direct response to the thus far somewhat limited bombing that U.S. forces have done in northern Iraq. I question, you know, the logic behind this. I mean, I'm not a strict pacifist, you know, and I do think that if there's a threat of genuine genocide one could make a moral and legal argument for some very targeted military actions, but I don't trust, frankly, that the United States will keep it limited. I think that we've seen how President Obama said, "Oh, we're only doing this to stop them from expanding. We're only doing this to stop them from massacring the Yazidis or whatever." We were supporting an offensive operation to drive them away from these dams that they had captured. I mean, already we're seeing a kind of mission creep going on.
Yeah.
So I remain, despite the real genuine horror that this group is inflicting, I'm pretty skeptical about increasing U.S. military involvement. But this ties into, I think, what's a critical point. And I was actually surprised to see that even Newsweek, of all places, had an article making this very argument, and that is that ISIS is so extreme. You know, they're alienating everybody. I mean, the United States and Syria and on the same side. You're seeing the Turks and the Kurds on the same side.
Yeah.
You're seeing the Shias and the vast majority of Sunni organizations opposing them as well. And what I'm saying is that these guys are so nutty, so extreme that the only way they're able to capture the territories they capture is because the Iraqi and Syrian governments are so god awful that people thought they might be the lesser evil. I think most people living under their control are now thinking otherwise, but at the time it seemed like
a good idea at the time. Yeah.
But in other words, but I think just as the Al-Qaeda, the early manifestation of a solid Iraq, the Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, or that they were defeated not by the U.S. surge. you know, not by the U.S. Bombing them, but because the Sunni tribal leader said, these guys are nuts, we got to get rid of them, and they rose up and in an alliance with Iraqi and U.S. governments were able to rid them from the territory. But what I'm saying is that I think ISIS is doomed one way or the other because they are so wacko. And as a result, there are plenty of local and regional forces who will be able to rid them, because there are not that many of them in terms of numbers. They got a lot of money, they got a lot of arms, but they're not a lot of troops. And I think that that if we forces would make a lot more sense than bringing in NATO, bringing in the United States, and allowing them to portray themselves as the great defender of the Islamic world against the infidels and Western imperialism.
Well, it seems too that though that the U.S. not known for restraint, especially in the current climate, but seem we're completely out of time. I do want to commend listeners' attention to this piece of yours. The paragraph to me is that the biggest division among Iraq's Arabs, however, is not between Sunnis and Shias, but between nationalist sectarian tendencies. Therein lies the nut. I thank you so much for joining us today. My guest, of course, has been Stephen Sunnis. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Registration is now open for the Pacific Northwest Social Forum coming to Portland the weekend of September 26th through the 28th. The weekend will feature People's Movement assemblies on topics such as treaty rights, food sovereignty, housing justice, and more. The Social Forum will begin Friday, September 26th with the concert by KBOO Station co-manager Mike Crenshaw and friends. KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of this important and historic event where we, the people, will create the Pacific Northwest Plan of Action for social, economic, and climate justice. Information about registration, endorsement, childcare, or on the